Well, by not doing it so early, you're on time.
Test. Lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns as we gather this morning. Not very much. Better is one day than a wonderful thousand elsewhere. I invite you to come through the doors, and may the doors of our hearts be illuminated, each of us. How lovely is your dwelling place. How lovely is your dwelling place.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.
Gals, how lovely.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
And just the guys. My soul songs and even faints for you. Everyone.
For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings.
Better is one day.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
Thousands elsewhere.
Good morning. I'm your liturgist today. The call to worship is out of John 15:5 and verses 15 and first part of 16. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last.
At your name.
At your name. The mountains shake and crumble.
At your name.
The oceans roar and tumble. At your name.
Angels will bow.
The earth will rejoice.
Your people cry out.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise.
Yahweh, Yahweh,
we love to shout your name, O Lord.
At
your name. In glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name,
angels
will bow, the earth will rejoice,
your people cry out.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name. Shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
There is
no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you.
There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God.
We will praise you, praise you. Jesus, you are God. We will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
Good morning. Imagine you have heard about Israel, and Bibi, I call him Bibi, but it's Netanyahu, who is the leader of Israel, and declared war on Hamas. And so it's a sad day. It's a sad day. There's been over 600 Israelis that have been murdered as of yesterday. And they think that that's going to climb even higher. It's children, elderly, it's just anybody. Over 3,000 rockets have been fired into Israel. And that's why war has been declared by the Israelis. So I just want us to just pray for Israel, before I even give you the announcements today. I was going to do it sometime along the way here, but I think we need to do that now. The scriptures even tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I've been there twice. So I'm really wanting to know what's going on over there. Let's pray to the Lord this morning, shall we? Lord, the announcements that we have today is really piddly compared to what is going on in a place that has seen war so many times throughout centuries and thousands of years. But we've never seen or heard of anything quite like this. And so, Lord, we just pray for the leaders of Israel today. We pray, Lord, for the people of Israel. I think, Lord, of the rabbis, those who will be carrying out the funerals. And I'm sure they are overextended in so many ways, and there's probably whole families that are not there today, or they've heard about, that have been murdered or slaughtered or shot or hacked apart, who knows. But it's a tough day in that part of the world. And our hearts go out to them today. And Lord, we don't understand these kinds of things. But your name is Yahweh. And it doesn't surprise you as it does us, because you know all things. So we pray, Lord, that there may be a silver lining in all of this. And I'm not even sure what that silver lining will be, other than that those that did not believe in God at all will come to believe in you. But more importantly, to come and to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of the world and as the Messiah. Lord, we know that there are people over there who love Jesus. And they will be out sharing the love of Christ in ways that we probably don't even know about here, but have probably already started doing that. So may your presence be with them today in all that is said and done as well. But it's your country, it's your land, it's your people. And we know that even though it's a difficult time, there's been difficult times before, and in the end, you are praised. And we praise you today because we know that you're all-powerful and you can do great things. So may your blessing be upon Israel today. And I know you hear all the prayers of people praying for Israel all over the world here today as well, which is good. So may your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now for the announcements. Today is the last day for reports. If you want to get your report in, you will not be asked to do it again other than here. Or if you've got questions, see Amy Johnson. She's right up front here. Put your hand up. There you are. If you got any questions about the end report, we'd like to get the booklet together so that you'd have it available next Sunday when you come and have a week to read it through and let it ferment. And probably not ferment is not the right word. It's probably marinate on you better. So, but thank you for those of you that got your reports in already. There's a women's Bible study that's going to be starting. The first time it's going to start now is this Tuesday at 9:30. And so that's going to be led by Cheryl Hesinius and Carol Banta. And yes, ma'am.
I have books here. If you signed up and paid for your study, you can pick up after.
I was going to say that. Now I don't have to. Thank you. So there are books, study books, if you want to pick them up. See Cheryl, you know who she is now. And if you'd like one, see her today as well. And if you don't have one, you can still come to the Bible study and make up your mind after that, too, if that's something you'd like to do. But we're looking forward to it. It's the name of it is You're Never Alone. Sounds very timely. A day like today, You're Never Alone. The Thursday Bible study has come to a completion, come to a close, taking a little break. We studied the book of James. We finished that this last Thursday. So there will be no Bible study this Thursday from noon to 1 o'clock until further notice. And so keep that in mind, but we are grateful to be able to go through that little book of James. There's a lot in there. Did you ever think James talked a lot about the coming of the Lord? He does. I didn't know that. Chapter 5, many references. And you know what he says about the Lord's coming? We are to be... what?
Ready.
Well, ready. But James says we're to be patient. We are to be patient. Good words. Keep those in your prayers that are dealing with some physical issues as well. We got Patty Griffiths, who's recovering from a knee replacement. We got Ron. Ron is here, who's 3 weeks beyond a knee replacement, and he doesn't even have a cane. You wouldn't even know it. So people come up to you today, do not kick him on what knee is it? The left knee. It might hurt your toe if you do. But anyway, good that you can make it. You and June can be here today. And something that just kind of came up too, I mean, Jeff Kyle's got to make a decision by tomorrow to either have a new valve put into his heart or to have open heart surgery. He's got two decisions he has to make and let them know what that is. So you can talk to him about what that is as well. And you see other things that are in the bulletin. You've got Kay Brandstetter, Tootie, they call her. She's in the memory unit over at Keelson Harbor. It was her 97th birthday. Mm-hmm. And so if you would like to just send a card or something like that to her, that her daughter, Sally, that's the address you send it to, and she will make sure that she gets it and be able to relay that to Tootie as well. That's all the announcements that I'm going to make today, but it is called a liturgist, right? I said it correctly. It's going to be a good day. Liturgist. If you're interested to, you know, you don't have to read both. If you want to just read one, you can sure do that. Just let me know what that is. You want to say something, Dean? Nice. How could I miss you? Oh, there's a blank there. You want the mic there?
Ready to go?
It means it's off. Oh, maybe it's a bad battery.
I don't see it. Everybody can hear me. I talk loud enough. The camera will hear
you. It must be the battery. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to... I think everybody is aware of it, but it's Pastor Appreciation Week.
Oh, no.
So I wanted to begin with the kids.
Thank you. Thank you much. Thanks, Tristan.
That's from the Joy Kids.
Really? Yeah. Thanks, Iris. Well, you're here. That's all that counts.
All the Joy Kids enjoy us. It's a blanket, right?
It's a blanket and a book.
And the book they all wrote in, and I told the Joy Kids, whatever you do, make it appropriate. So, because we have had them sometimes write that we've had to edit it.
I read through all of them before I gave it.
Oh, all right. But thank I want you. To thank... Bob, so much for being our music minister and everything. I know that he gets us ready to listen to the message. So, and I got to thank Tim so very, Pastor Tim, excuse me. I got to thank him so very much for putting up with me. And all the joy and good that he brings to our church. So I just want to thank you guys. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Brothers.
And they'll be in the back of the church right after church, so you can...
Oh, yeah. I'll be around.
We'll have coffee, and you can all give your thanks. There are also a box in the back for cards if you brought them. So a basket for each of them. I should have let Karen give this report. So, but thank you guys again.
You're welcome.
And one other thing, somebody celebrating a birthday this week on Wednesday.
Wednesday it is, yeah.
So you can wish him a happy birthday so early.
Yep.
So, you look good for 80.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lisa. I'm just going to pray. Okay. Well, thank you. You don't have to do these kinds of things because it's just not necessary. But you should do it for Bob, but not for me. But he'd say the same thing. But just thank you so much. And yeah, the Joy Kids, you didn't expect that one. That was a curveball that was there. But thank you so much. I'll keep nice and...
You kept coming in the room when we were doing it on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah?
And normally I was like, he's never here during this time. And then you kept showing up.
Well, now I'm going to come around more often. I'd just like to have a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, thank you for surprises. This is a good surprise. And I say on behalf of Bob, too, that we just are grateful to be able to serve this church. A lot of challenges, a lot of happy times, a lot of sad times. A lot of things in between, a lot of decisions. But we are grateful that it's you that first chose us. And now we serve you. And you still call us friends. Because you truly are a wonderful friend to us. All because of Jesus. And so, Lord, may your hand be upon each person here who's on Zoom, as well as here present and those that are not here. You know our hearts. Our hearts are to have people come to know Jesus in a real way, in a personal way. And we thank you for being with us along the way. So we praise you, we thank you, and Lord, we also are mindful of the people in Israel. Be with them. Give them wisdom. May they give glory to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
If you'd stand for the responsive reading, please. It comes out of Isaiah chapter 5. I will sing for one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside.
He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines.
He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well.
Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit.
Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard.
What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it?
When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad?
The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight.
And he looked for justice. But saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress.
You may be seated. Earlier we sang a song, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise. Bring to mind, Lord Jesus, that beneath the cross, you have opened the door for us to know you personally. May we we understand the incredible love that you have poured out upon us. That we come beneath the cross of Jesus. Please join.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I long to take my stand. The shadow of Almighty Rock within a weary land, a home within a wilderness, a rest upon the way from the wonders I confess, the wonder of His glorious love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, your shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of His face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sin, self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
You may be excused from up front. Just a little side note here, just to let you know that, you know, if it wouldn't be for our wives, for Sharon and for Lisa, Bob and I would not be who we are either. Just want you to know that. So I think they deserve a lot of credit too. Right, Bob? Well, I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. It's only three verses here, 43 of chapter 1 through 46. I wish the message was as short, but it's not. I read in Jesus' name. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that we have with us whenever we want. The Bible is probably in every home, and there's probably more than one. The sad part is it's probably not read very often by too many. So, Lord, use your word today. Help us to understand the importance of having Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin with a question. When you see the word therefore, most of the time, what do? When you see the word therefore? It's here in the scripture. Very first word, therefore. You have to look what comes before that. Whenever you see the word therefore, what follows it is going to be the conclusion of a thought or the whole point of what is said before. So this therefore, we have to go way back into the beginning of, well, we go way back to actually verse 23, where it talks about Jesus has been asked what gives him the authority. Who authority does he have to do what he's doing? And Jesus just comes and asks these guys who's asking him this, well, how about John the Baptist? Was he from heaven, or was he a prophet, or was he just an ordinary guy? And he catches them off guard because they know that no matter how they answer it, they're in trouble. And so they go like, well, just forget the whole thing and move on. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus gives two parables. The first parable is one about two sons where the dad so told them, go out into my vineyard. Now the vineyard means the nation of Israel. So whenever you see the word vineyard in the scriptures or you hear about vineyard, it's talking about these are the chosen people of God that he made a vineyard. It's his people in this vineyard. And they need to be cared for and taken care of. And so he asked his one son, and his first son said that he would do it, but he ended up not doing it. He didn't go out to the vineyard to collect fruit or to work in it. He asked his second son to go out, and his second son said he wouldn't do it, but then later on did. And so he asked the question, so which of the two boys listened to their father? He goes on to the second parable that follows this one. And he talks about a landlord that went out and planted a vineyard. And he made a wall around it, and he dug a wine press, and he built a watchtower, and then he rented it out, the whole vineyard, to some tenants or some farmers. He rented it to them, and he went on a journey after that. He figured everything was taken care of. The parable then goes on, and he said he sent them servants to go and to collect at harvest time what was produced by this vineyard. And when the servants showed up, the ones who were renting it beat them up. They beat the first guy up. The second guy, they killed him. And the third guy, they stoned. Probably didn't kill him, but I think if you got stoned, that'd be a terrible thing. And then later on, the landowner sent more than before, and they went to collect. And he did the same thing to them. And then last of all, he sent his only son. He said, you go and collect from the renters, being it's harvest time. And when they saw the son, the heir, they said, if we kill him, we then will inherit everything. And so they took out his son outside of the vineyard and they killed him. And so Jesus asked the question then, so when the landlord comes back, what is he going to do to those who rented the vineyard? Now the people who are answering him are going to be the same people that asked Jesus who gave him the authority to do what he's doing. They're the Sadducees, And they're the Pharisees. They're the priests. These are the religious leaders of Israel. And they knew that the parable that Jesus gave was about them. Jesus tells a story, but he's including them. And that's why he says, the stone, he asked this question. Verse 42, have you never read, and it's in a question, have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Have you never read that at any time? And of course, the answer to that is they have. As being religious leaders, they had read that. It comes from Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23. They would have known this. They would have read it. And here the parables are referring to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they knew it. And rather than taking it to heart, they got pretty ticked off at Jesus. And they wanted to find a way to arrest him. But they were afraid of the people, because the people saw Jesus as a prophet, someone who did great things, who spoke the truth. And so just, they didn't do anything, but they looked for a way to arrest Jesus. So Jesus says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. And he points out, or the Sadducees and the Pharisees knew that he was speaking about them, because that's how they handled the prophets of old. They came to Jerusalem, they came in to tell the people the truth about God and what God wanted them to say, and they never listened to them. They would beat them up, they would mistreat them, sometimes they would kill them. And then he sent his son, and they did the same thing to him. They killed him. What's really interesting here is this. Remember when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey? The triumphant entrance into Jerusalem? The people were shouting out hosannas. But one of the things they mentioned comes from Psalm 118, verse 26. It says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They would know this. The people were saying scripture about Jesus. And the word stone is a messianic term for the Messiah. The stone. The rock. God refers to himself as the rock many times throughout scripture. And here, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. It'd be the cornerstone, the most important stone there is. If it was an archway, it would be the one in the center of the arch. It kept it from collapsing. If it's a cornerstone, it would be the most important stone on a foundation that makes it so that you can have a level and a straight foundation and something that will last forever. The cornerstone plays a huge part in a foundation. And so what Jesus is pointing out to the Sadducees and to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, is that God has done everything he possibly can do to get you to come to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why his vineyard has bad fruit. Bad fruit. They rejected Jesus. They rejected the most important stone that they could ever do. And so when the Sadducees and the Pharisees decided to arrest Jesus or wanted to find a way to arrest him, they're going along with what Jesus says here, that when this stone falls on someone, it's going to be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. They're really saying that they'd rather be judged and to be treated and to be crushed and have judgment upon them than to believe. That's how hard-hearted a person can become. Just because you come to church doesn't mean your hearts are soft, that they are willing to believe. But I know that some of you are here and your hearts are soft, and you love to hear God's word, and you love to believe in Jesus, and you live for him. But not everyone here is like that. You can be watching by Zoom, and it can be the same for you too. Just because you watch on Zoom. Oh, now did you hear that? Everybody shut them off. They turned me off. That can happen too. Jesus is the most important person for you to believe in. Do not reject him. Do not reject Jesus, but come to believe in him. That's my message today. Is the stone who's Jesus Christ, is he the one that's most important to you today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can hear it so many times and so many different ways, but today it's just pretty straightforward. It's, where is Jesus in my life? Where is Jesus in my life? We can hear a lot about him, but that doesn't mean that we know him. We need to receive him by faith. John 1:12, I believe, says that. At least I know it's in the first chapter of John. It is you that makes us become your children by faith. And out of that faith, we do things that normally we would never do, because you become more important to us than ever before. We want to serve you and do things like you would do them, look at people like you look at other people, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Lord, we fail so many times, and yet you continue to love us and want us to come to know your Son, Jesus, as our Savior. It's pretty simple. It's not difficult. Children can understand this. We just ask ourselves today, do I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Do I? Or am I just playing a game? Lord, may you make it real. May you make it real. To whoever is here today who needs this, whoever is listening by Zoom who needs this, make it real. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Will you please rise as we recite the Apostles' Creed together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I was going to just mention that the reason why we have the Apostle Creed is because early on in the early church, there were false teachers that were out there proclaiming different kinds of teaching. And that's where all the creeds come from. Different times throughout history, there have been false teaching. The people come and say, this is what the Bible teaches, and you're not there, or you need that type of thing. And so that's why the creeds came about, why a lot of pastors, a lot of theologians who got together, they had councils back at that time, and it took them decades to get through these things and to work it out of saying, this is what we really believe, this is what we really believe that comes from the scriptures, comes from the Bible, and that's really where the Apostles' Creed comes from, the Nicene Creed comes from, the Athanasian Creed comes from, of different false teachings that were going on at the time in Christian church history. And so the reason why we find it important to do the Apostles' Creed is because it's important to hear it and to know what it says. Because you can't disregard anything in it and still claim to be a Christian. You have to believe everything. And it'll cause you to probably dig and look it up for yourself, and that's fine, do that. But I do remember as a small kid walking on the prairie roads trying to recite the Apostles' Creed perfectly in my brain. This was something to do. And I could never do it. I could get so far and then I go like, I don't know what comes next. And I'm sure if we didn't have it up on the monitors and we had to know it by heart, guess what? Should we try it? I won't do it. Because I probably can't do it either. But that's why we do it. We need to hear it more and more and more just because we forget. So, may you receive the blessing that comes from the Lord today, that he gives us his peace because he loves each and every one of you. His face shines upon you. He is hoping. He is wanting. He is yearning for you to come to know his Son, Jesus Christ, to believe in him, because he's the only one that can give you the forgiveness of sins. He's the only one that can give you eternal life as well. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Bear my light to them. Whom shall I say?
their hearts be satisfied. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you by the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them, my hand will sing. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Who shall?
Would you please stand?